It's time for America Outdoors Radio, the show that covers the outdoor scene across the U.S. of A. and the entire continent. Fishing, hunting, conservation, outdoor recreation, and great destinations, we cover it all every week. It's your country, your outdoors. Let's explore it together with your host, John Cruz.
We're starting things off with some good news about the state of fishing from the Fishing Wire and the Recreational Boat and Fishing Foundation, which reports 55 million Americans age 6 and over went fishing last year, making this a real silver lining to the cloud that has been the COVID pandemic. This is 5 million more anglers than before, and that's very good news for the sport of fishing. Some of the report's key findings include that fishing participation rose to 18% of the U.S. population, the highest rate in over 10 years. Youth participation grew 53%. Hispanics participated at an all-time high, with 4.8 million participants. There were also nearly 20 million female participants, representing 36% of the total anglers out there, also an all-time high. And nearly 1.8 million more women went fishing than in the year prior, with a 10% increase. First-time participants climbed to 4.4 million. Reactivated participants who had hung up the rod and reel and came back soared at 9 million compared at just under 7 million last year. Better still, 88% of the current fishing participants fished before the age of 12. Want to help continue this trend? Take someone fishing the next time you head out to the water and help them fall in love with this sport as much as we do. This week on America Outdoors Radio, we'll be chatting with Tom Van Horn. He's a longtime Central Florida fishing guide who can show you a much different experience if you're an angler, and probably a much more enjoyable adventure than what you'll find at the nearby Orlando theme parks. Tom is also an Alaska fishing guide. He's been doing that for four seasons, targeting big salmon and trout, and he'll be sharing a lure he's been using to really clean up on the silvers, the pinks, and the chum salmon too. Someone else we'll talk to today is Derek Siegler. He's an editor for the great daily source of online information called The Outdoor Hub. He just wrote an article about the best hunting knives to carry afield, ranging from pricey to surprisingly inexpensive, and he'll share his selection with you. We've also got Natalie Krebs coming back to the show. She's the senior deputy editor for Outdoor Life magazine, and she investigated what happened this past January at Tennessee's Real Foot Lake, where one duck hunter killed two other hunters before the suspect died himself. The initial story about it being an argument over ducks or duck blinds, simply not true. Natalie, who wrote a very thorough article about the incident, will tell you what really happened and attempt to answer the question we all have, why? Before we talk to Natalie, Derek, and Tom, though, I want to let you know about a worthy conservation organization that is doing a fundraiser right now that I think you're going to want to check out. Next on America Outdoors Radio, we are taking you to northern Minnesota. That's where you're going to find the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness. It's one of America's best places. It's 1 million plus acres of wilderness area, and there are several organizations that work hard to protect it. One of them is the Sportsman for the Boundary Waters, and we've got the executive director on the line, Lucas Leaf. Lucas, great to have you on the show.
Yeah, John, thanks for having me.
So, Lucas, you are doing a silent auction to raise funds for your organization. Before we talk about some of the auction items that look great, by the way, let's talk a little bit about Sportsmen for the Boundary Waters. What does your organization do?
Well, we were initially founded to be an arm of a campaign that can reach hunters and anglers and a more conservative base to, you know, help protect the Boundary Waters, specifically from proposed copper nickel mining at its border within its watershed. So, you know, I really like to lead with our mission statement, which I really think kind of describes what we do, and it's to protect the integrity of the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness and its watersheds for huntable and fishable populations of fish and wildlife now and forever through advocacy and education. I mean, this is a world-class, you know, fishing destination, outdoor recreation, and as you mentioned, you know, 1.1 million acres of interconnected lakes, rivers, and streams. I'm actually heading up there next week and looking forward to it.
Well, I know I can definitely get behind that mission statement. I think just about all of our listeners can too. Now, you're a nonprofit organization, and you, like every other nonprofit conservation organization out there, has been punched in the nose by COVID because you haven't been able to do fundraising activities like banquets or things like that that really get you money in a hurry and in-person events. So you're doing a silent auction. What are you going to use these funds for?
All of the funds go directly to the work that we're doing to protect the boundary waters. You know, fortunately, almost every item has been fully donated to us. I mean, short of a couple of the items where we're actually providing some of the gear ourselves. So it's just a great way for us to raise money in a, exactly like you said, in a time where we're not able to do in-person events. So everybody has shifted to this virtual world for now because of COVID, and you know, silent auctions and giveaways are one of the best ways to raise money.
There's some great items that you have on the auction block here. And folks, this silent auction runs through May 12th. We're going to run through just a couple of them in the interest of time, but we'll give you a website where you can check out all of them. Let's start off with the one that really spoke to me. A fully outfitted Boundary Waters trip for two, 4 days, 3 nights with the Ely Outfitting Company. Tell our listeners what that experience is going to look like.
I mean, it's fantastic, all-inclusive basically, right? So Ely Outfitting Company is located in Ely, Minnesota, you know, one of the gateway cities to the Boundary Waters. It's owned by Jason Zaborski, a huge supporter and board member of other organizations that work on this. And, you know, it's 4 days, 3 nights. You get all of your gear, food, the canoe provided. You basically pick your destination and they give you everything you need besides your fishing gear and you know, basic needs that you bring with.
There are quite a few fishing trips being offered as part of this auction. There's also a pheasant hunt, though, and the pheasant hunt takes place the host of an outdoor show in the region, KFAN. Tell us more about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so KFAN Outdoors, 100.3, donated the KFAN Experience, it's called. So it's with Bob St. Pierre of Pheasants Forever and Captain Billy Hildebrand. And essentially what you're going to be able to do is go on a pheasant hunt with those two in West Central Minnesota, and you also get to join them for a Fan Outdoors radio broadcast. So really cool for them to be able to do that. And, you know, Bob is actually on our board as well. So it's just really nice to have folks like this donating these cool trips.
Oh, I agree completely. Speaking of donating trips and experiences, you know, you are the executive director of this organization, but you are also a trained chef. In fact, I met you for the first time at the Backcountry Hunters and Anglers Field to Table Dinner. Folks, this was like a $400 a plate dinner. I was a media schlub covering this. I was just given some leftovers and I was happy with that. But people were lined up to go ahead and try some of the wonderful food that you prepared. And you've got a wild game dinner cooked by you on the auction block. What's that going to look like?
I mean, it's pretty much what it sounds. I mean, I'm going to head over to someone's house and prepare a four-course meal with, you know, featuring wild game and foraged ingredients. Before I transitioned into conservation work and what I do now, I was a professional chef, and I still do dabble in that. And a lot of the cooking I do focuses around wild game with a great company called Modern Carnivore, owned by Mark Norquist. So we do a lot of cool things like this, and yeah, I'm excited to, you know, get over to someone's house and cook some great food.
Oh, that sounds absolutely delicious. And folks, there's also a grab bag that is a part of this package too. These are just three of the great trips or experiences you can have. There's plenty more. What's the website folks can go to so they can check these out and bid on them before the auction closes on May 12th?
Well, you can either go to sportsmanbwca.org or directly to the silent auction website itself, which is give.sportsmanbwcafundraising.org. But by visiting our website, we also, you know, have plenty of links there too.
As a matter of fact, folks, if you go to sportsmanbwca.org, again, that's sportsmanbwca.org, just go to the top of that website there. You're going to see a tab for the auction. Go there. Check it out.
Yep.
Place your bids. It's for a great cause, and you might be in for a great experience. And even if you can't go on a trip, there's all sorts of other things to bid on, too, that if you're an angler or a hunter or a conservationist, you're going to absolutely love. One more time, the website is sportsmanbwca.org. Go to the auction tab and bid today. Lucas, thanks for the work you do, and thanks for sharing this with us today on America Outdoors Radio.
Thank you so much for having me on, John.
We've been telling you about Sportsman's Cove Lodge in Southeast Alaska for a while now, and there's a reason. They are the only Alaska lodge we talk about in this show. It's because they're truly Alaska's best lodge. The adventure starts with a float plane ride from Ketchikan, after which you'll get the chance to experience some of the best hospitality, food, and wonderful people you'll ever meet. Wildlife is abundant, from bears and deer to eagles and whales, and let's not forget the reason you're here, the fishing. Halibut, salmon, lingcod, rockfish, true cod, and more. It's all waiting for you in abundance at Sportsman's Cove Lodge. Book your trip today at alaskasbestlodge.com. That's alaskasbestlodge.com for Sportsman's Cove Lodge.
Campers, adventure seekers, hunters, and foodies. No matter the lifestyle, we can all agree on one thing. Great food and great people are worth remembering. At Camp Chef, we don't just make grills. We create each product knowing that a warm meal is always better when it's shared with those we love. Learn more about Camp Chef grills, smokers, and portable cooking equipment at campchef.com. That's campchef.com for a better way to cook outdoors.
Looking to reel in the marketing opportunity of a lifetime? Then set the hook, because we've got it right here. America Outdoors Radio has sponsorships available, and we offer an affordable platform to reach thousands of listeners interested in fishing, hunting, and the outdoors. Find out more by contacting host John Cruz through his website at AmericanOutdoorsRadio.com. That's AmericanOutdoorsRadio.com. But hurry, if you wait too long, this big opportunity might just get away. That's AmericanOutdoorsRadio.com.
Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, a nationwide group working to keep public lands in public hands so future generations can enjoy what we enjoy. Join the group that makes a difference. Check us out at backcountryhunters.org.
Welcome back to America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. Got an email from my friend Ron Stallings. He's the marketing manager at TTI Blakemore. They make all sorts of lures. The most famous one, the Roadrunner lure. Another lure they make is the Salmon Steelhead Runner. And he was telling me about a guide named Tom Van Horn who is having great success catching salmon with this up in Alaska. Based on that, I had to reach out to Tom, and here he is. Tom, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for having me.
So let's talk a little bit about this lure and how you're using it to catch coho salmon and pink salmon and chum salmon up in Alaska. You're a guide up there during the summer months. Where exactly are you fishing, and how are you fishing this lure to get into the salmon?
The river that I fish on is called the Alaganac River, and it's located within the Katmai National Park, and it flows into the Bristol Bay. So we're upstream about 23 miles from the bay. And the Salmon Runner was a newer lure. The first time I tried it the year before last. And as a member of the TTI Blakemore team, I was very fortunate to have lures to take up there. But my position the year before last, we didn't fish last year because of the virus. But
sure.
My position the year before last was actually the guide manager. We have 17 fishing guides.
Oh, wow.
So what I did is I distributed the lures amongst them. And I said, all I need is a photo. they virtually caught just about everything on them, you know, from the pink salmon, the coho. Coho's really good, chum salmon, and even rainbow trout. One thing about the Alagdak, it flows through a national park, so it's kind of like Yellowstone.
Sure.
So all of the freshwater species, native species, are catch and release there.
Oh.
So your rainbows average 24 inches, probably up to, I think, 33 was the biggest caught last season.
Well, I'll tell you what, that sounds like a slice of heaven to me. And folks, this lure is a really interesting one. You have this jig head. It has a willow leaf blade, a chrome willow leaf blade underneath, and that gives off attraction. And then it's got a long flowing marabou skirt in various colors. Comes in 1/4 ounce or 3/8 ounce. It might even come in 1/2 ounce size. And again, were your guides just casting it and doing a straight retrieve, or how are they twitching it?
It depends on the fish you're targeting. Our last season, we had a tremendous pink salmon run, and they became annoying after a while, if you can imagine that. But what we'd have to do is you'd take a long cast and then reel it right across the top of the water, almost like a spinner bait. And the pink salmon were a little deeper in the water column, so they would swing at it and miss most of the time.
Right.
But the coho would just come up and just smash it.
Oh.
You know, and the first time I was out there, I actually fished with two really seasoned guides one day, and they said, "You ain't going to catch nothing on that." And I just kind of smiled. And next thing, I had two silvers in the boat before they even got one.
Well, I know the hot color for the pink salmon is definitely pink. What's the color you're using to catch the coho?
They like the pink as well, and the blue. There's a bright blue skirt that's really good.
All right.
But all of them work.
Okay, well, this is good to know. So, folks, you got a new lure to use when you're salmon fishing, and if it works in Alaska, it's going to work just about anywhere you're fishing for salmon in the coastal rivers, so this is good to know. But when you're not in Alaska, you spend most of your time guiding in your home state. You're guiding in Central Florida. You're the longtime owner of Mosquito Coast Fishing Adventures. Tell our listeners a little bit about what you offer there. I was on your fantastic website, and man, oh man, whatever fishing adventure you want, you've kind of got it there. Less than an hour away from the theme parks in Orlando.
Yeah, I have this philosophy where I think everybody needs to catch fish. And the best way to teach people to be responsible anglers is to help. So there's over 60,000 words of content on that website. So if you come to Central Florida, you don't have to fish with me. You can just look at the site and decide. If you read it, you'll find out the seasons and what species to target. And one of the best things about Central Florida, it's really a fisherman's paradise because you can fish freshwater one day and saltwater the next. And I cover a wide variety of areas based on what my clients are looking for. Anything from the freshwater St. John's River fishing all the way up to the flats, Mosquito Lagoon, and outside of Port Canaveral in the near shore waters for tarpon and snook and stuff like that.
Well, it all sounds good to me. I've got to tell you, you know, it looks like you have a fun little skiff to fish out of there. And your light tackle inshore flats fishing for redfish, sea trout, black drum, that sounds like an absolute blast. But I've got to tell you, I was looking at your freshwater fishing at the St. John's River. And yes, you know, you're catching panfish like I expected. You're catching those big Florida strain largemouth bass like I expected. But there was a couple species that were very unexpected that are kind of winter fisheries. Sunshine bass and hickory shad. Had no idea either one of those were available. Didn't even know what a sunshine bass was.
Well, American shad run up the east coast of the U.S., in the spring based on water temperature. And they also have them over there in California, from what I understand. Florida, the water temperature reaches its prime in Florida before it does anything else on the East Coast. So we have one of the first American shad runs of the season. And then we have hickory shad, and we also have another one called a blueback herring. And the sunshine bass is a species that was introduced into the Florida waterways by the state of Florida. And it's a cross between a white bass and a striper.
Okay.
Some people call them wipers.
How big do they get?
8 to 10 pounds.
Nice. Very big. Okay. And how do you catch them?
Basically, I fish with, a lot of times I fish with bait. A lot of times I fish with the TTI Blakebone Roadrunners.
Oh, okay.
They work really good. What happens, you know, everything in fishing has a season and a time. And it just so happens at that time of year, the St. John's River is a huge waterway. I mean, a really wide basin. And during the summer, it floods way back into the woods and all down the, you know, the pastures and the prairies. And in the wintertime, it's dry, so all the water runs back into the lagoon or into the river. So with that, all the bait comes back into the river.
Gotcha.
And it just coincides with the shad run and all the other things. And the bass will just be schooling up in big bunches. And then you just, you know, throw that roadrunner in there, and you don't know what you're going to catch.
Well, I'll tell you what. I know they call Disney World the most magical place on Earth, but next time I'm there, I'm ditching the family there. I'm going to come fish with you because it seems to me the most magical place on Earth is probably the St. John's River or fishing the Mosquito Lagoon or the Indian River Lagoon and going one of these light tackle inshore flats trips or maybe catching some of those sunshine bass or big largemouth bass. Sounds like an absolute hoot. Let's give out the website so folks can find out more and sign up for your free newsletter too.
Okay. Well, my website is simple. It's IRL, which is the acronym Indian River Lagoon, -fishing.com. And I do a forecast. I don't do fishing reports. I do a forecast every month.
Okay.
And it kind of tells you, based on my experience, what to look for. And it's basically set up for just general anglers. know, over the years, I've taught thousands of anglers to fish. And what's happened is it's come back to me now, and they all help me. They all help me by calling me and say, hey, you know, fish are over here, or don't go there.
Nice. That is great.
If you do come to Florida, you need to see the wild side. Even if you just go on an airboat ride and see gators, or take a kayak or a canoe and go down one of the creeks or rivers, there's a lot to see in Florida.
Well, I can't wait to see it with you the next time I'm there. Folks, again, if you want to find out more or book a trip, get a hold of Captain Tom Van Horn. His website, again, irl-fishing.com. That's the website for Mosquito Coast Fishing Charters. Again, irl-fishing.com. All sorts of great Florida fishing adventures are waiting for you, no matter what your skill level. Tom, thanks for sharing this with us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Why book at Sportsman's Cove Lodge?
Why is Alaska like no other place on earth? It hasn't changed in thousands of years.
From the way you get here on a float plane to the way you go out with the guides and the boats, it's just a professional experience.
And I said, this is as good as it gets. I said, if you can't catch fish here, you can't catch fish anywhere.
Your experience with us will leave you speechless.
Book now at alaskasbestlodge.com.
The Dalzen, Oregon is your base camp for fishing fun. Reel in big salmon, tangle with steelhead, bass, and walleye, or wrestle a monster sturgeon to the boat. After the day is done, you'll find a variety of lodging options around town. Need to resupply? We've got you covered with sporting goods stores plus great dining, breweries, wineries, and can't-miss attractions like the Gorge Discovery Center. Plan your fishing getaway today at explorethedalles.com. That's explorethedalles.com.
You're back in with America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. We're going to take a deep dive into a really disturbing event that took place at Real Foot Lake in Tennessee in January. You may recall that there were 3 duck hunters that were killed, and the circumstances of what happened, well, they've been in dispute for quite some time. That's why Natalie Krebs, the senior deputy editor for Outdoor Life magazine, took a deep dive into this case. And if you go to outdoorlife.com, you can read all about exactly what happened, or at least what we think happened in that duck blind there. Natalie, welcome to the show.
Hey, John.
So before we talk about a little bit more about what happened, let's talk about Real Foot Lake in Tennessee. You did a really good job of describing the setting there, and it's very unique because it's a public area and there's public draw blinds, but there's private blinds too. Tell our listeners a little bit more about this.
Sure. So Real Foot Lake is very much an outdoorsman's lake. People hunt it and they fish it, and that's kind of what they go there for. The lake itself was actually formed by the New Madrid earthquakes in the early 1800s. So it's pretty shallow, and there's a lot of cypress trees. And there's also, it's right in the Mississippi Flyway. So you've got a bunch of ducks and geese that use the area. There's a national wildlife refuge that's a part of Real Foot. And there's also more than 300 permanent duck blinds on the lake. And most of those started out as private blinds. And when the state of Tennessee bought the lake, they grandfathered in those private blinds to the families that own them. But they said, hey, you know, when the person it's registered to passes away, then it becomes public. So I believe there's, for this coming duck season, there's going to be about 66 or so blinds that are public, but the rest of them are still privately owned.
Very interesting. And some of these private blinds, as you wrote, are very close to the public blinds. And folks, if you're a duck hunter, you probably understand this, but if you're not, you probably don't. Duck hunters, Natalie, as you know, they're very, very territorial and very, very competitive, aren't they?
Yeah, they can be. And some of that is simply the nature of the duck hunters have to go where the ducks are. They have to go to the water and the food sources. And when you congregate around ducks, you get a lot of hunters congregating in the same area.
You know, it's funny. I'm a duck hunter and a dove hunter. And dove hunting is one of the most social activities you'll ever have. You just show up with a bucket. You can sit
wherever. Nobody really cares if you're next to them or not. But when it comes to duck hunting, you have to be at your blind if you want to get it. Sometimes you're camping there overnight, or you're there at, you know, as soon as you're legally allowed to be there. And it's a race to get to the good blind. And if anybody comes close, you're barking at them, stay away from my blind, stay away from my area. If anyone's shooting close to you, words are often exchanged. Like I said, it's a whole different ballgame, duck hunting versus dove hunting. And I guess that's why a lot of folks had an theory about what happened when they heard the initial story. And the actors here, Chance Black, Zach Grooms, Jeff Crabtree, David Val. And what we initially heard was that Black, Grooms, and Crabtree were in one blind. Val was in another, came over, and the initial story seemed to indicate there was a dispute about the duck blind, and Black and Grooms were killed by Val. That's not exactly how this played out, is it?
No, it's not. You know, a lot of the setup that you describe is accurate, but the reasons behind it are totally different than what the public thought. You know, there was no dispute. There was no argument over ducks, as best as investigators can tell. And, you know, the surviving witness, Jeff Crabtree, says that absolutely wasn't the case, that instead they were approached by David Val, and he wasn't really sure why Chance Black and Zach Grooms were shot. So it was a confusing story to start with, and then the rumors sort of just spiraled out of control.
Well, it really was a confusing story. It all makes sense the way that Jeff Crabtree related it to you, but it doesn't seem to make sense in terms of why is this happening. Why don't you tell our listeners Crabtree's story about what happened in that duck blind?
Sure. And I'll summarize it very quickly because there's so many logistics that go into it. But essentially, Jeff Crabtree, Chance Black, and Zach Grooms were hunting in one of their own blinds. You know, they hunt out of the same blind, 60 days of duck season. You know, they're not fighting over spots on real foot. And they were approached by a stranger in a boat who asked if he could get in the blind and hunt with them. And that was David Vowell. And he ended up in their blind, and, you know, almost immediately upon arriving, Crabtree saw him shoot Zach Grooms. And he initially thought it was an accident. He thought the gun had gone off, and so he quickly disarmed him. He got the gun out of his hand and got Zach into the boat. Zach had fallen into the water, got Zach into the boat, got Val into the boat, and he and Chance headed to shore for help, to try and help Zach. And on the way, David Val picked up a shotgun that was in the bottom of their boat that the guys used to finish crippled ducks. It was just in the bottom of their boat. And he used that and he shot Chance Black. And at that point, that's when Crabtree says he realized that David Val had come over with the intention of shooting them. That was not an accident. So Crabtree was able to disarm him again in the close quarters of the boat, and he threw him overboard. He threw him, still conscious, into a shallow part of Real Foot and headed back to shore to get help and try and call 911.
So the authorities launched this search for Val, and this was heavily publicized that Val was a suspect. They were looking for him. He's found a few days later. He's dead. He's washed up on shore. And what was it? They believe he died of hypothermia?
The official autopsy was, you know, they couldn't determine whether it was hypothermia or drowning. But yes, some combination of that is what the medical examiner believes.
And then we get to the big question of why. Because you hear this, and again, the way Crabtree relates it, there was no argument at all. In fact, literally all that was said was, you know, can I hunt with you? And after what Crabtree thinks is an accidental shooting of Grooms, he asked Val, what's wrong with you? And Val's reply was, I don't know. And then he doesn't really say anything else during the events that transpire. So you dove into this as well. What are some of the reasons this may have happened? Why did Val, who has no criminal record at all, why would he have done this?
Right. And that's the question that may never and probably will never be answered satisfactorily. Authorities, they don't have a motive, but they believe that the reasoning behind it is rooted in a few conversations that David Val had with his friends and family in the days leading up to the shootings. And essentially, David Val thought he had dementia, and his friends and family didn't. He said he was forgetting things, and they thought that was just, you know, normal aging process. David Val was 70 years old. He had a doctor's appointment the afternoon of the shootings, but he didn't have a diagnosis of dementia. He did have a diagnosis of depression, and he had recently been put on some antidepressants. But that's all authorities have to go on, is that perhaps he had an episode
right
out on the lake.
Right. And I think it's well known, if you watch any commercials about antidepressants on TV, sometimes the antidepressants can lead to suicidal thoughts. But again, at the end of the day, we don't know why this happened. We do know there's only one survivor, Jeff Crabtree. And I wouldn't blame the man if he never went hunting again after this. But you ask that question, has Jeff Crabtree gone back to duck hunting or not?
He has. You know, it was something he struggled with initially right after the incident happened. You know, he swore off duck hunting. He said, I can't handle this. And then he came to the conclusion that he didn't do anything wrong and that to go duck hunting would be what his hunting buddies would have wanted for him. So he ended up taking his grandson out, you know, a few weeks later for the youth hunt. And I think he was a little rattled still when the first shots of the day started happening. But then he kind of settled back into things. And I know he was glad he got back out there.
Well, folks, you really do need to read this article if you want to try to figure out in any sort of sense of what happened at Real Foot Lake this January with this really disturbing and awful story. You did a fantastic job of covering this, Natalie, and you've also got some profiles of Chance Black and Zach Grooms that are available for folks to read as well. The website to go to is outdoorlife.com. That's outdoorlife.com. Look for these stories about the tragedy at Real Foot Lake and the participants that were part of it. Natalie, thanks so much for taking the deep dive into this and for sharing it with us today on America Outdoors Radio.
Yeah, thanks for having me, John.
This portion of the show was brought to you by our friends at WorkSharp. They're the fine folks out of Ashland, Oregon, who make knife and tool sharpeners that you can use whether you're hunting or fishing or camping or maybe in your shop, maybe in your kitchen, for all of the knives and tools you need sharpened every day when you work and play. WorkSharp tools can be found online at worksharptools.com or you can find them in sporting goods stores and hardware stores all over our great nation. Just look for WorkSharp products to sharpen your knives and your tools, because nothing is worse than trying to get the job done right with a dull blade.
Campers, adventure seekers, hunters, and foodies. No matter the lifestyle, we can all agree on one thing. Great food and great people are worth remembering. At Camp Chef, we don't just make grills. We create each product knowing that a warm meal is always better when it's shared with those we love. Learn more about Camp Chef grills, smokers, and portable cooking equipment at campchef.com. That's campchef.com for a better way to cook outdoors.
The election is over, and this is not another political ad. But with the change in president, there is uncertainty. Uncertainty in the market. Will it be up or will it be down? Uncertainty on how the new administration will handle taxes for your retirement. A new report states that the Biden administration may take away key tax benefits to traditional retirement plans. But what if there was a better way? A way to save for retirement tax-free? We can help business owners, freelancers, and regular working folks get on track with their retirement without risk and without taxes. For more information, get your no-cost, tax-free retirement income strategy guide now by calling 888-585-1615. That's 888-585-1615. Find out how sound investment principles can give you a retirement where you eliminate the spend down of your savings and create more income for your retirement tax-free. Call today and get the free guide, 888-585-1615. That's 888-585-1615. Call now, 888-585-1615.
Ready to step up to a quality-built rifle or shotgun that's a true classic? Check out Henry Repeating Arms, American-made. There's over 200 models to choose from in a variety of finishes and calibers for hunters and target shooters. Many of these are lever-action models with a look right out of the Old West. Don't be deceived, though. Henry Repeating Arms are modern, rugged, accurate, reliable, and have a lifetime guarantee. Find out more and order a free catalog today at henryusa.com. That's henryusa.com.
Backcountry Hunters and Anglers is the voice for your public lands, waters, and wildlife. From the Canadian Yukon to the Florida Everglades, we're stepping up to conserve North America's public lands, defend our hunting and fishing traditions, and expand public access to the outdoors. Our outdoor heritage depends on sportsmen and women like you speaking up for the natural resources that sustain our way of life. Find out how you can get involved at backcountryhunters.org and become a BHA member today.
You're back in with America Outdoors Radio, and this portion of the show is brought to you by Worksharp, the company out of Ashland, Oregon, that makes quality knife and tool sharpeners. And this is actually the perfect segment for Worksharp because we've got Derek Siegler on the line. He is an editor for the Outdoor Hub. He just wrote a great article about the best hunting knives to carry afield. We're going to pick his brain and find out what his choices are. Derek, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So before we get into your picks for the best hunting knives to carry in the field, let's talk about the qualities and characteristics that you're looking at when you judge a hunting knife.
Well, for me, the main thing for me is balance. It's got to fit in my hand good, and I've got to be able to move it and do the work that I need to get done without it slipping and kicking back on me. And it just got to fit right. You know, everybody will pick up a knife, it'll feel a certain way in your hand. If it fits good, that's the number one place I start every time.
Okay. Well, let's start off with the editor's pick. That would be the Benchmade Hidden Canyon Hunter Knife. Benchmade is an Oregon company. This is a fixed blade knife. Tell us a little bit more about why this is your pick.
Honestly, I'm a huge fan of Benchmade. Everything that I've ever had from them is beyond top quality. And I know there's a few guys that don't like some of the Benchmade products, but I've had great success. And this knife is another one of those. It felt great in my hand, and it has the quality that I expect from Benchmade as far as it has a razor sharp blade that stays sharp, holds an edge really well, and just works for everything that it has a little bit shorter of a blade. And that's one of the things that a friend of mine who read this article was saying, why did you pick that one first? It's got such a short blade. Honestly, you don't need a super long blade to cut through anything, you know, as far as most North American big game animals. It works perfectly for me. I'm hunting white-tailed deer, so it's perfect knife for that use.
There is one drawback. I understand it's pricey. What is the suggested retail price?
Most of the time you're seeing this knife for over $200. It's right around I believe the retail price is $229.99. Looking through a Cabela's store and everything, I found it for a little bit under $200, but it's right around the $200 mark.
All right. Well, then we better get to your budget pick for all of us blue-collar listeners. What is something that's a little bit more affordable, but also a very high-quality, solid pick?
Ontario Knife Company makes their Hunt Plus line, and I've actually had these knives quite a long time. You're looking at right around $35 I found them as low as $25.
Oh, wow.
There's a whole series of them. They have their main Hunt Plus knife, which is a drop point blade. They also have a skinning knife, a caping knife. They have a camp knife that is really good for like an all-around use when you're in deer camp and stuff. But, I mean, you're getting a really good high-quality blade. You're getting a firm grip, rubber handle. It's a great knife, and the price, you just can't beat it.
Okay, I agree, especially when you compare it to the one from Benchmade. Okay, folks, again, the best budget pick is from the Ontario Knife Company. It's the Hunt Plus. These are both fixed blade knives. Let's talk about the best folding knife. Where does that fit in?
My absolute favorite folding knife is one that I got introduced to at the last SHOT Show where we could be in person, and it's from the Columbia River Knife and Tool Company. It's called the Homefront. My biggest problem with a folding knife for hunting, you know, and folding knives are great. You know, I have one in my pocket every day when I go out somewhere. But for hunting, they tend to get really dirty, and it can be really hard to clean. And my knife's got to be clean because I don't want to carry anything over to something else. And you don't want germs and nasty stuff getting in your meat.
Right.
It is the easiest knife I've ever seen to clean because the whole thing comes apart. You flip one switch, and it's three parts, and you've got the knife completely disassembled. You can field strip it, clean it. And on top of that, it's super high quality steel. Razor sharp blade and a great fitting knife. If you're going to use a folding knife for hunting, you want it to be clean, this is the way to go.
That's good to know. One more we've got to talk about, and we're getting back to fixed blade knives here. The best combo knife set for field dressing big game. What was your pick and why?
The Gerber Myth. It's a two knife set. I actually bought this years ago, and it's still a popular knife. And what's funny is that a lot of my friends, even some of my friends in the outdoor industry, have asked me, like one of my friends was asking me to get her dad a knife for Christmas, a hunting knife for Christmas, and I suggested this one. And she has told me repeatedly how much her dad loves that knife. And what it is, you've got a small caping knife, then you have a fixed blade knife with a gut hook on it.
Right.
And the sheath has a sharpener in it, which is kind of interesting because Gerber has a tendency to stay really sharp for me. I've never had much problem with it going dull, but there's a knife sharpener in it, especially if you do it against an elk or a moose. But it's, again, it's a great fitting knife. I love the feel in the handle. I love the feel of how it carries. The two knives stack up on top of each other. They fit down into it's a plastic sheath. They fit down in really well, and then there's a Velcro strap that keeps everything secure and a rubber flap that comes over the top to hold the handles from vibrating. So when you're walking around, they don't rattle.
Nice.
It's a great set, and it's two knives in one, man.
Well, and very well thought out. Again, folks, you're listening to America Outdoors Radio. We're talking to Derek Siegler. He's an editor for the Outdoor Hub, which is a great daily resource you can read online, especially if you subscribe like I do. Doesn't cost a thing either, by the way. And we are talking about the best hunting knives to carry afield. The editor's pick is the Benchmade Hidden Canyon Hunter Knife. The best budget pick is from Ontario Knife Company. It's the Hunt Plus. The best folding knife is the Columbia River Knife and Tool Homefront Knife. And the best combo knife set for field dressing big game that we just talked about, the Gerber Myth. Final question for you, Derek. What knife do you carry in the field when you go hunting?
I actually rotate between, I own all of these knives. That's one key thing about, I'm kind of a gear junkie. My wife cringes every time I go shopping. But one of the things that's important is I field tested all of these knives. So it kind of rotates back and forth. A lot of the times when I'm deer hunting, the Gerber Myth is with me, or I'll take the Ontario Knife Company, the Pump Plus. The Gerber Myth is really cool because I do a lot of waterfowl hunting, and the caping blade is absolutely perfect for field dressing geese and ducks.
Oh.
I absolutely love it. And I probably do more waterfowl hunting than I do deer hunting just because the season's so much longer and I can take my son with me and he has a great time. So that probably is the knife that gets carried with me the most.
Well, there you go. And if you want to read more great content from Derek Siegler and other writers, again, just go to the Outdoor Hub. Just look for Outdoor Hub online. You can subscribe for free, get the daily newsletter, and you will be in the know about what's going on, the latest and the greatest in the outdoors industry. And it'll give you information to help you be a better hunter, angler, or outdoorsman or woman. Derek, thanks so much for sharing this with us today on America Outdoors Radio.
Thank you much. My pleasure.
Something else you can use a hunting knife for is to, well, skin and clean a turkey. But if you're going to have a knife for that, you also need a shotgun for that. And that's why you really need to check out the Single Shot Turkey Camo Shotgun from Henry Repeating Arms. This is a rugged 12-gauge shotgun. Looks beautiful with mossy oak obsession camouflage. It's got adjustable fiber optic sights to get you on target in a hurry, and it's the perfect tool to bag a gobbler this spring. Like all of Henry's firearms, this single-shot turkey camo shotgun is made in America and has a lifetime satisfaction guarantee. Find out more about it and look for a dealer near you at henryusa.com. If you have any questions, just contact the award-winning customer service staff. They are ready to help you. And don't forget to ask for your free catalog and decals, too. The website, again, henryusa.com. One more thing I'd like to share before we go today is I'm going to be heading to Fort Worth, Texas and Lake Ray Roberts next month to cover the Bassmaster Classic. Yes, the Super Bowl of all fishing tournaments. I can't wait to cover this event as a media member, hoping to get on a boat with one of the pros fishing this tournament. And of course, we'll be recording audio and bringing it to you the week after this event happens. This is going to be a ton of fun. I can't wait to head to the Lone Star State and cover this massive fishing event. As we wrap up our program today, I'd like to thank our guests who joined us on the show. That includes Derek Siegler with the Outdoor Hub, Natalie Krebs with Outdoor Life Magazine, longtime Florida and Alaska fishing guide Tom Van Horn, and Lucas Leaf, the executive director of the Sportsman for Boundary Waters in Minnesota. It's great guests like these that help us bring you a quality show every week. Here's hoping you are blessed in the days ahead, and until next time, do remember this. It is your country and your outdoors, so get out there and enjoy it.
The Dalzen, Oregon is your base camp for fishing fun. Reel in big salmon, tangle with steelhead, bass, and walleye, or wrestle a monster sturgeon to the boat. After the day is done, you'll find a variety of lodging options around town. Need to resupply? We've got you covered with sporting goods stores plus great dining, breweries, wineries, and can't-miss attractions like the Gorge Discovery Center. Plan your fishing getaway today at explorethedalles.com. That's explorethedalles.com.
A sharp blade makes short work of any project you have in the outdoors, in the kitchen, or in the shop. Hone your knives and tools with quality power and manual sharpeners from Worksharp. Find out more at worksharptools.com.